Thank you. There are some pretty unbelievable things in the world. Do you know that if you boil water, it will freeze faster than if it's cold? I didn't know that. That's pretty unbelievable. I've seen the Mona Lisa 1,000 times, never noticed she has no eyebrows. The sentence, "The quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog," has every letter of the human alphabet in it. The strongest muscle in your body is your tongue. The little city of Carmont, Michigan, or Minnesota, for 4 elections straight, they elected a dog as their mayor. Do you know that if you drink a cup of espresso, there's less caffeine in your espresso than there is in a cup of coffee? Well, I would not have believed that. It's illegal to chew gum in Singapore. It takes a whole week, to make a jelly bean. And it is impossible for most of us to lick our own elbows. So if you want to try that, you can just go ahead. Go ahead. See if you can do it. A crocodile cannot stick his tongue out. And a shrimp's heart is in its head. And a pig can never look at the sun. I did not know that. There are all kinds of things in our world that are unbelievable, that are hard to believe. But I think the most difficult thing for all of us to believe is that God loves us, that he died for us, that he rose again. My goal this morning is to encourage you to admit how hard that is for all of us to believe he loved us. And then to pray the prayer, "God, help me in my unbelief." So let's pray, and then we're going to unpack this together. Father, I ask that you would edit everything I'm going to say. Lord, what I should not say, help me to forget about it. What I should say, put in my mouth. Help these people that you love in this building and online to hear what you want to say, and then to do it. This we humbly pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. In verse 35, Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. Now, thank you for filling in the context. I was going to do that. If you look at John 9:1 says, "As he passed by, he saw a blind man from birth, and his disciples asked." Now, you and I probably both know that that was Peter, because Peter's always sticking his nose into stuff he shouldn't. "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" That was a predominant understanding that if you do bad things, God punishes you. It is no different than what is being taught in evangelicalism today. If you're homosexual, God will punish you. If you're gay, God will punish you. If you're a cross-dresser, God will punish you. If you have sex before marriage, the punishment is you're going to have a baby. That is not the God of the Bible. It is not the God of the Old Testament, even. Though many people try to make that the case. The God in the Old Testament is telling the story of man's failures and God's successes. Think of Moses. He was an utter failure, and yet God loved him. What Moses couldn't do, God could do, but Moses had to fail first. David, this king that we all think is the greatest thing that ever happened, he's a man who was just so bad in many ways. He was a murderer, a rapist. He was vindictive. He was jealous. All of those things. And David failed But God succeeded in keeping his promise to David. And so the Old Testament does not contradict anything in the New. They are one story, man's failure and God's unconditional commitment of love to all of us throughout the whole of human history. And so when Jesus had heard they had thrown him out, is a statement of what we do. You know, those of us who are baby boomers, the gray hairs of us in this room, remember the wild 60s. We remember the hippies. We remember their long hair. I had a guy who sat in front of me in grade 9 who could sit on his hair. His hair was so long. And you remember the granny dresses and the young women who got rid of their bras and burned them. And we remember the pill coming out and how somehow the pill would make sex recreational with no consequences. Well, that didn't work out very well. And then we were the generation that dropped out, were anti-establishment, anti-war, and look at us. You all look pretty established to me. And what happened? We rejected those people. And when God moved in to the hippies, when he started to reach out to them and change their lives, they showed up at church. And how did they show up in church? They showed up in church with no shoes, no socks. They had their long hair down to their waist sometimes. They didn't sit in the pew. They came up and they sat on the floor. And they wanted to hear about Jesus. And what did we do? We tossed them out. We said, get a haircut. Put on a bra. Wear the right clothes. Get your shoes done. Shave. And don't you dare bring a guitar in here. We can't sing praises to God with a guitar. We need an organ. We need a piano. And maybe we'll tolerate a violin. But none of this guitar stuff. We were no different than these Pharisees. We threw them out. And not only over that, but think of the ethnic works. The Christian Missionary Alliance in Western Canada is nicknamed the Christian Mennonite Alliance. Do you know why? Because right about the time they were planting churches in Western Canada, the Mennonite churches were having a battle over whether or not you would preach in English or in German. And all the third generation kids in their homes didn't know any German. They couldn't speak it. They wanted to hear the gospel in English. And the old people said, learn German. And so they left the church and went to the Alliance. We have been doing this for centuries. We throw out what we don't understand and what we reject. You know, Eli had told me a few weeks ago that he was going to preach his very first sermon last week. And I said, I'll listen to it. Well, I had to go to church myself last week, so I couldn't see it online live. And then we got busy in the afternoon, so about 9, 10 o'clock on Sunday night, I actually listen to his first sermon. What an exciting thing. I hope you guys understand how amazing that is. A young man who's willing to get up here and preach and show his passion for Jesus. Pray for him. Maybe God will call him into full-time ministry. And then pray that there will be people who will disciple him and make him a great pastor. He's your fruit. But you know, He came up and I was able to do this thing that would have been impossible 10 years ago. If I hadn't been able to drive here 10 years ago and listen to him preach, I wouldn't have heard him. But you tape, you put your stuff online. I not only heard him, because we used to tape our sermons, remember? You'd have to go in and check out the cassette. And then you have to bring the cassette back. Well, now, at 10 o'clock at night, I just fired up my old computer, and there he was. I could see his face. I could hear him. I could see his passion in his body, and I was just so encouraged. You know, my foster brother, Tom, he spends half his year in Canada and half his year in California. He's a university professor, and he works with a university down in California, and he hates the winter. He's older than I am, but I'm getting close to where he's at. I don't like the winter either. So he's found a church that he's fallen in love with in California. It's an amazing church. And so when he's in California, he goes when he can. When he's in Canada, he goes to church online. He teaches a Bible class every week online. He is involved in a prayer meeting online all year round. And we are so locked into the past that some of us say, well, if you don't come back to church, if you don't put your bum in the seat, then you can't be a good Christian. Well, you know something? God's doing something different. The pandemic has changed everything. The global warming has changed everything. And the church is standing in the way of God doing a new work. And so I say to all of us, and myself included, God is moving forward. And he's either going with you or he's going without you. And he'll raise up new leaders. So your choice is yours. You got to make the choice. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Let me confess something to you. The majority of the time, I do not believe in the Son of Man. And the majority of the time, you don't either. I spent my life serving churches. And I knew all the right things to say. And I acted like I believed in the Son of Man. But you know what I really believed in? I believed in church growth principles. I was going to build a church. And I did. I believed in small groups. I went into a church and I put in place small groups and we tripled in size. And I thought, this is the greatest thing. Look how good I am, God. And those small groups split the church. Not once, but twice in two different churches. You'd think I'd learn something. Did I believe in Jesus? No. I believed in the latest idea of how you build the church up. I believed in my own abilities. I believed in hard work. I believed that if I made more sacrifices by not asking for more money, we could have better sound system, we could have better musicians in the church, and all of that would result in the kingdom growing and people coming to Christ, and I would look good. I believed that I needed to look good. The danger is that we believe in everything but Jesus. We believe in our abilities. We believe in our theology. We believe in our denomination. We believe in the way we worship. We believe in the people who are leading us. And it all fails. It all fails. None of it works. Who is he, sir? The world says to us, who is Jesus? And we tell him about our denomination. We tell them about how to dress. We tell them what kind of music they should listen to. We tell them that they should stop living together and get married. We tell them that they need to get to church on Sunday morning and the prayer meeting. And in my day, we went Sunday morning, Sunday night, prayer meeting, and youth group. And then you're getting there. We tell them about all kinds of things. But we don't tell them about Jesus. We tell them our stand on women in ministry. We tell them our stand on gay and lesbianism. We tell them our stand on marriage. We tell them everything, but we don't tell them about Jesus. Wake up. I need to wake up. Jesus is who they need to see. And the man asked, tell me so that I may believe in him. The world can't believe in Jesus because we don't introduce him to Jesus. We introduce him to everything but Jesus. Verse 37 says, Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. Every once in a while, Jesus breaks through and we see him. Did you listen to Eli's sermon last week? Because he got it right. He's young. He's got full of energy. But he got it right. You see Jesus when you are broken. You see Jesus when you have no more results. You have nothing left to give. You have no more energy. You have nothing that you've tried that has worked. I'm at that place. 70 years old, and finally, I'm starting to see Jesus. But every once in a while, he broke through during my career. And it always came at the time when I least expected it. It always came in a way and packaged in a means that I didn't expect. We had a little guy in our congregation who was mentally challenged. And, he just loved to talk. He talked. And every once in a while, Jesus would speak for him. And I'd go, wow. We had the YMCA on one side of us as a church and the YWCA on the other side. And the YWCA asked me if I would lead a Bible study amongst their women. Well, the women who live at the YWCA were women who were abused physically, sexually, mentally. They were often drug addicts, people who were addicted to drugs and stuff. And I went, okay. So I taught the study for 10 weeks. And out of that came two people, two individuals who joined our church, who grew. And one of them hadn't been there very long, and she was helping in a work party, and she fell and broke her hip. And I went, oh, man, we're going to get sued. We're going to get sued. She never sued us. She just said, I can't believe that you love me. And Jesus spoke. You know, it's the least, the thing that we don't expect. He didn't speak to me through the big name preachers. He spoke to me through street people. I did the funeral for a guy who lived at the Y for 70 years across the street. He lived in one room his whole life. He was worth $3.5 million and lived in the Y. And he was just a simple man who loved Jesus. And you would have never expected it because he dressed like a street person. Open your eyes. Jesus shows up when you least expect him. You see him in the eyes of the person across from you today. You'll see him in the grocery store. You'll see him walking down the street. He will work in ways that you do not expect. He's speaking to us. But are we listening? Have we got our ears open? Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. I got to be honest with you, most of my life I have been blind. I went to Bible school, and in the big theological discussion was, should women be in leadership? Can women preach in the church? No, when women preach in the church, it's sharing, it's not preaching. So we made that kind of concession. As long as one of the deacons is there, she can speak. She can't be on the boards. How blind was I? How foolish I was. You know, we had these discussions about whether or not the charismatic movement was a legitimate movement of God. What a fool I was. I was blind. I couldn't see what God was doing. I didn't want to see what God was doing. God helps those who are so marginalized to see that we don't get it sometimes. In most of the world, unwanted children are sold into the sex trade. Jesus came and died so that those children will know that he died for them and they are valuable and that they are loved. They are not disposable. The untouchables of India know that Jesus loves them and that he is willing to touch them. In the Middle East today, where people have no value for human life, Jesus values everyone. And people are turning and giving their hearts to God. In China, we see over and over again that communism has failed to eradicate Christianity. Why? Because Jesus loves them just the way they are. They were blind, but now they see. I would like to see like that. I would like people to see God in me. Verse 40, some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this, and he asked, what are we blind to? Absolutely. You remember, if you read all of John 9, it's the Pharisees who heard about this man who was blind but now saw, and they pulled him into their court, and they accused him of being fake. They said, you weren't blind from birth. So they called his parents in, and they said, tell us the truth. This kid didn't grow up blind. They said, yes, he did. Well, this can't have happened. There is no way that this is real. They rejected it. And when they had done giving him the ninth degree, and they couldn't get him to confess that Jesus hadn't healed him by doing this outrageous thing, he spit on the ground and made mud. You know how unclean that would have been to a Jew? To take spit, make mud, wipe it on this man's eyes, and then say, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And they would have just been horrified by the whole thing. Jesus did all of that. And one man saw. They were blind to it. They were blind to this thing that God was doing. Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. That's a powerful statement. You see, the person who is broken, as Eli said last week, is the person who is aware of what? Their sin. If I'm not broken, I think I'm right. Trump thinks he's right. He's so right that everybody else is wrong. Everybody else is lying but Donald Trump. He's a man guilty of being blind. Every time you take a position and you won't move from that position, no matter how good you think the position is, you're blind. You see, Eli's right. A person who is broken does not trust themselves anymore to make any kind of decision without the help of God. You know, we had this argument in the church for a long time. Some of you remember this, about whether or not you could use anything but the King James Version in church. Oh, do we have battles over that? And people were on both sides of it. There were all kinds of arguments about you couldn't use the New International Version because it was a corrupted version. It was done by liberals. You know, I hear people calling me a liberal anymore. Why? Because I'm broken. I've come to the end of self. I don't know the answers anymore. You know, I love the message because it's so simple. Some people will say, well, you can't preach from the message because the message is a paraphrase. Well, it is and it isn't. If you know the guy who translated it, he was probably the foremost Greek scholar in the world and Hebrew scholar. He was brilliant. He would take his Hebrew Bible into the pulpit, Peterson, and he would read from the Hebrew and translate on the go as if he were reading English. So is it a paraphrase or is it, I don't know what it is. The message is something different. The message was done because he wanted to help his people in his congregation understand the Word of God. Is that wrong? Boy, every time we think we know the answers, every time we get our backs up, every time we say, God doesn't do it that way, we are blind. Totally blind. It is time to be broken. It is time to be the people of God who have no abilities to do the Great Commission. It is time to realize what Eli said last week, that when I'm broken, I'm most useful. When I'm broken, God pours out his love and his grace to a broken world. The only question that remains is, what do you want to be? You want to be Mount Forest Baptist Church, the neatest little church in town, or Mount Forest Baptist Church, the most broken and messiest group you've ever found? Which one? I know what Jesus wants. It's the second one. Will you join him? Or will he leave you behind as he moves forward? Now you think about that. And you pray about it. You pray for brokenness. Because it is the answer. The only answer. Let's continue to worship together.